What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 246 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Izzy.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
Here we are. Probably a short episode. I know I say that most weeks, but probably really short this one, because there's not much. We got some announcements, but no reveals, so we can't really talk about anything. So we'll just kind of quickly go over the stuff that did come out this week. We did the Battlefront 2 trailer was shown after, it was like when we recorded last time. But it will be, it does have a story, so it was like a story trailer for it. And it's being written by both the guy who wrote Spec Ops Line, I keep wanting to say Walt Williams, but that doesn't sound right to me because of the alliteration, but I think it's Walt Williams, as well as Mitch Dyer, formerly of IGN. So it'll be pretty interesting to see, and apparently it's going to take place over like 30 years. And hearing everybody speculate about it, if they stick to the, you know, because the main character you play is part of the Empire, and they're from a planet that kind of got pulled into the Empire. Like, they say, hey, you know, we want to expand our territory here, we'll give you these benefits if you, you know, join us. So they join. So in her mind, the Empire is good. She's had nothing but good stuff from them. So it'd be interesting if you play from that, like, her, as long as her, everybody's worried her perspective's gonna change from, like, the Empire's altruistic to, you know, they're totally evil, and then she joins the good guys. And I kind of don't want that. Apparently there was one game, a Star Wars game, that didn't do that. I think it was it X-Wing? It was like TIE Fighter or something, some Star Wars game where you played as someone who was, but I don't know how long it expanded. I don't know if it was like the character you play, like if it was years of their life. But it'd be interesting to play from someone who's, you know, technically on the quote bad guy side through an entire game. But it seems interesting. Once I heard that the writer from Spec Ops was doing it, I got much more interested in the campaign, because I'm like, all right, if it's now I might actually play this, because that sounds pretty interesting. Like, I'm curious what they could do. But there was that, and then we saw leaks before for the, I don't think we ever talked about it, just because it was like a poster leak, but the Call of Duty World War II got officially announced, and the reveal will be on Wednesday. This is being done by Sledgehammer Games, which I believe this should be, well, the last game they did was, because they helped on Modern Warfare 3, and they did one on their own, which I think was, I forget which one it was, but they only had one game on their own, but I don't think it was, like, that much time, so this is, like, really full-on them doing their own thing as their own group, I guess. But yeah, I'm really interested in it, especially World War II. I think it could be really good, especially if it's like really got a really strong story to it. And then I feel like I could possibly go back to the multiplayer. I don't know if I want to necessarily go back to the Call of Duty quick multiplayer, but I'd probably play it a little bit more. But yeah, I am interested to see what they show on Wednesday. Which, I'm curious then if Battlefield 1, when they, because obviously DICE is, the next DICE Battlefield game is going to be Battlefront 2. So next year, is it going to be, are they going to do a Battlefield set in World War 2? Like, are they going to just jump from World War 1 to World War 2? Which I think would be cool. I thought about that when Battlefield 1 first came out, because Battlefield 1 is great. And I love the campaign, and the multiplayer is fantastic. And I'm like, okay, it would be awesome if they go back to World War 2 as well. Especially do the same thing they did with the story, where it's each of these little vignettes of different soldiers from different countries and stuff across different parts of the war. I thought that was really cool. And it'd be nice if they went back to World War II, because it'd be awesome just to, you know, play like a conquest on the beaches of Omaha beaches or whatever, and then just Operation Market Garden, just all that stuff. Just, it'd be awesome. And so I'll be curious to see if they do that. I have a feeling they might not, but who knows? If you figure whatever they're working on, they're probably already concepting it behind the scenes, even though they're working on their DLC for Battlefield 1. They got to have the majority of their team working on, aside from, because I don't think it's DICE Sweden, DICE proper, that's working on Battlefront, but it's going to be, you know, DICE LA, I believe they have their studio. So it'll be, but I'm sure they'll help out in some way, obviously with the core tech. But as far as design and stuff, I think that'll be kept to the other team. So it'd be interesting to see if they're working on a World War II one, and then, you know, because I figure, I guess that would be nice, because then it would be a year after the Call of Duty game. But then, of course, you're going to have the people that think they took the whole Me Too mentality, and like, oh, they just wanted to do the same thing. It's like, well, no, that's not how game development works. But it'd be interesting. I'm kind of hoping we get some more games to go back to World War II. I think the last game that did it prior to the last, like, a big game is there was a game that came out in, like, 2000, I want to say 11, maybe? Maybe 12. I think it was definitely on PS3, but it was like, it had a cool idea where when you chose a level, instead of like you know, Sniper Elite, it's like you always, because that's a World War II game, like, but I'm talking about like a, aside from Sniper Elite, where like you go to the start of a level and you progress through it, even if it's an open world level, like you always have that starting point, like you come in from one direction. It'd be, this game did it to where you can parachute into the map. So like, say the mission's in like London, or I don't know why the Germans would be there, but somewhere, like you just choose and you parachute down into the city, and then you do the objectives you need to do, so you can kind of choose where you want to go. And I thought that was a really cool idea, especially for an open world game, because the only other game that does it currently that I know of is a Ghost Recon, how like, oh, you have to go do this mission, okay, you just, because it's open world, you can approach it from any way. But this is like from the get-go, you get dropped in this giant world and you just parachute down any spot, and the enemy groups are going to be in different areas, so you might drop in a spot with less of them or more of them, and then the AI was really adaptive, but I don't think it did well. But yeah, it was a really cool a cool idea.
It's not quite the same since it's multiplayer, but like a lot of those like player unknown style games that are out right now do that, where you parachute in.
Yeah, they do that. Like, yeah, Battleground, the player on the Battlegrounds, they do that. Yeah, it's similar to that, except it, you know, it's just the level. Not, this game wasn't as open world, but it was just an awesome idea. Like, just choosing, essentially, you're just choosing where you spawn in a map. Similar to like how Rainbow Six, you choose. Well, if you play ranked, you can choose where you spawn on a particular area, or where your guys have the objective at. It's a lesser version of it, but I thought it was a nice idea.
God, I imagine that's tough to balance a game when you can approach a level and start anywhere.
Well, I think it's, yeah, it would. They talked about it, like they like that freedom, and I think that it was like the way they worked the AI. I think they just had it to where it was really adaptive and stuff. I think the game, when it came out, got like high sevens. I think it was like a, you know, 7.8, 7.9 possibly. I think people were on the 100-point scale back then. But yeah, it was like, it didn't do super well, because I remember I didn't pick it up, but I don't know if it came out during other stuff, and that's why I didn't get it, but it was an interesting idea. Let's see, what else was there? We did also get Bandai Namco announced their new game, Code Vein, or Project Code Vein. I don't think it has an official title yet. It's kind of like a Dark Souls-like game. They did a whole Prepare to Dying teaser trailer a while ago. They haven't shown any official gameplay trailer. They've only shown screenshots. But like, I guess people are treating it like it's in like an anime Dark Souls or an anime Bloodborne. Kind of.
What? What's this game called? Clearly, I need to look it up.
I'm sorry, you didn't hear about it. It's called Code Vein. V-E-I-N. Let me see. Yeah, it's. I'll just send here the link right here.
Surprised I didn't hear about it either.
Yeah, the teaser trailer came out last week. There's a direct link to the article. It has some screenshots. Yeah, that's what kind of people are calling it. Like I said, there's no footage, so I'm curious how well it'll play out. But yeah, that's it'd be interesting if it turns out pretty well. We'll have to wait and see on that, I guess.
I wonder if it'll be at E3. Like gameplay and stuff.
You figure it'd have to, right? If they did a teaser trailer that wasn't footage, it was just kind of like a, I like kind of like the teaser trailer, kind of reminding like these weird, like a, I like the art style. Like it was kind of like sketchy, like it wasn't perfect. But I like the way it looked. And the last boss reminded me, gave me that like evil Evangelion vibes or something. just because like the way it looks, it always reminds me of Unit 1 when it has like the when its teeth are bare and its eyes are just glowing. Whenever you do those silhouette shots of Unit 1, but
that part kicks ass.
Let's see here, but yeah, that's so I'm sure that'll be shown at the E3s. And then outside of that,
anime vampire action RPG. That's a lot of words.
Yep.
That is a lot of words.
Games can't be one genre anymore. They have to be at least four or six.
Oh,
it's not an action RPG. It's an anime action vampire RPG.
a lot of the best games are, you know, genre mixing. So they're like, hey, gotta change it up. And you figure if everybody, if they see like, Neo come out and it's like, oh, you know, taking the same comps, it's like, okay, let's go less for that realistic look. Let's go for, you know, more of an anime look.
So I was thinking about this the other day. I don't remember as a kid, and maybe this is just, you know, because I was young at the time. I don't remember describing games as, oh, it's like this game mixed with this game mixed with this game.
That didn't happen a whole lot.
Nowadays, every game that comes out is described as a mixture. It's, you know, Dark Souls with fairies or shit like that. Like, every game is just a mixture of other things. And I was trying to remember, like, I don't remember getting, you know, F-Zero as a kid or something and being like, it's like Dark Souls mixed with racing.
That's because, you know, they've, now you have a much, because games can do so much more, that when they take, they can take, borrow ideas from one another. And so you can go, you know, it's like this meets this. It's easier to do it. Like, the first time it was like, like a Metroidvania. That was the first one you could do. Like, it's like these two games that did this thing where you can go somewhere, but you always kind of backtrack. So they go, yeah, oh, it's a, you get powers that give you access to an area. So it's a Metroidvania.
Just became like a really easy way to tell people what the game was like.
Right.
Like in recent years, before you just be like, you just have to play the game or you have to see somebody play the game to know about it. But now there's like certain very, very, very well-known games that are attached to certain mechanics. So somebody could be like, oh, it's like Dark Souls. So then you instantly know that it's like really, really difficult and punishing just because that game is so well-known for that specific thing.
Right. Yeah, and I think
especially on the internet.
Yeah, and it's super helpful too, especially you know, if you can, because the things you always compare it to are traditionally, you know, the critically acclaimed stuff. So you know, the game, you know that okay, if it has a mechanic and it's like these two great things, then that has a high probability that it could be good, at least mechanically, not necessarily on the story end. But I like it. You figured because it was, you know, especially back in the day too, a lot of games kind of stuck to their genre too. There wasn't a lot of genre mixing. I mean, if you look at the RPG elements in shooters, that didn't really come into place until, you know, Modern Warfare. So that was just last generation. And then you start getting more genre mixing last gen than you did in like PS2. Like traditionally it was platformer, it was shooter, it was action adventure, it was, you know, driving. There wasn't much crossover. I think that's mainly due to limitations in the hardware, possibly. And then, you know, you have people that grew up playing the stuff that need to come up with something new. So you got to get through, okay, we've kind of did all we could with this one genre. Let's try mixing them. You still have people that do stick with those one genres. But, I mean, you know, Uncharted's still like that action adventure game. But, yeah, it's just, you know, easier to mix nowadays, I suppose. Like, just pull tiny elements in.
But, yeah.
And you get games like Persona, where it's like, what the fuck genre is this?
Yeah, it's funny when I hear playing Persona. Before I play Persona, you know, I hear people talk about it and blah, blah, blah. And then I hear people complain like, oh, that's just like a, they call it the life simulator, and you gotta take tests in school and yada yada. Like, every time they'd say stuff before I played it, I thought, like, it was a big portion of the game. And I'm like, yeah, but the school tests aren't much. Like, it's one question every couple days, maybe once a week, and then there's like a test like once every 2 months or whatever. I'm like, that's just the answers to the questions that you already did, so it's pretty easy. And
it's less that, and it's just how else do you describe it?
Yeah, but I hear people say it like in such a negative way, like who aren't interested, so they just bash it. Like, that's like the that's just the the school simulator, right? And the
this honestly, my favorite part of the game is leveling up in confidants and shit.
Yeah, and it's like, in all that, you don't have to do. I just, yeah, I like doing it, like, just leveling up in confidence. Like, who am I gonna get? Like, I guess we'll just transition to Persona at this point, because the news is kind of over. But I got
yes, Persona.
Well, won't be able to talk for too long, obviously, because I don't really want to. Nah, I'm not super far, but you're much farther. But like when I was, I got to the point where I didn't realize I was already gonna push myself to be almost the top rank with Anne. It was the rank 9 confidant conversations, and then it goes, main character's like, I gotta choose my words carefully, and he's like, you got me, you got the others, and I'm like, this must be the romance question, and I guess I'm at that point. And so I sat there contemplating for a long time. I'm like, do I want to romance on, do I not want to? I'm like, in this game it doesn't matter, but I sat there for like 15 minutes going like, I don't know what I want to, because it'd be fine if you could go back and like do it later, because like there's so many other characters that I'm not that far with, so I have no idea how their stories play out, you know, who they are really. So it's like, I feel like that option should kind of be open. Like, it should be open in the way that, because you can still hang out with people after you've ranked up their confidant status. It's just you get no more bonus, I guess. And so it'd be fine if, like, if I bought flowers or lipstick or some object. And I could, because there's things you can't give people when they're just your friends. Like, you can give, like, Anne and other people, like, cakes, because she likes cake. And she's like, oh, thanks. And that gives you a little boost. But you, if you're too early, you can't give her stuff like, crimson lipstick. And she's like, you know, like, your character's like, oh, I don't think I can give this to her. I might give her the wrong message. So I feel like if you aren't with anybody, that should be a mechanic in the game where if I go and hang out with this person after they've already maxed out their confidant status, and just give them this special gift as like a way that then triggers, the next day I can go out with them and then we might have a conversation like, hey, you know, do you want to go out or something? You know, it's, I feel like it should be that. I don't like the fact that it hard gates you out once you choose no, because it's not even like a yes or no. It's just, she's crying and like, okay, spoilers for Anne's confidant storyline, but like, her best friend recovers from this thing, and then she's gonna move school, so her best friend's gone and she's gonna leave, and she's like, I'll see you again once I'm, you know, more comfortable and yada yada, and I'm better emotionally. And then now Anne's really sad that her best friend's gone. She's kind of crying because she feels like she's alone again. And so then your character has the option to say, you have me, you have the other. So you say, you have me, then you guys end up date, you, that's the romance option. Then once you do the rank 10 one, then you can, guys can start your romance. And then the other one's like, you got the others. And I feel like that's such a weird hard out, just to say like, hey, you've got everybody, and then it's like, okay, now we can never date again. And I'm like, that it's just so odd to me. Like, I guess maybe that they couldn't build that system in there by the time they're feel like, oh, we'll just, we don't want to do that, we'll just hard lock it out, because I hate it, because I'm not high up with much of the other people, so it's like I don't know who I like the best yet. It's like, and but I was sympathetic towards Anne because she was so sad. I'm like, but we've been hanging out. And I'm like, oh, but it's so early. Well, I guess not early in the game, but I was like, damn it. I was kind of bummed. But then it was kind of curious, because had I done that, there's a anime cutscene later where like everybody's oogling her. That was after the fact. And she gets mad and like pushes the seat back at him. And I'm like, well, what would have happened in the cutscene if I was with her? Because then if we're dating and I'm oogling her, is that a bad thing? And then it's weird that I was playing the text message, but like the anime cutscenes are pretty sparse. They're not much there. Like, you get one in the beginning, then you get them when you and Ryuji both get your personas. You don't get it when Anne gets her persona. It's just a regular in-game thing. Same with everybody else. It's all in-game. There's no more anime cutscenes. But then it's like the first cutscene I get is they go to see some fireworks, and then it starts to rain, and then she's ringing out her outfit and showing some leg, and then everybody's looking at her kind of in the corner of their eyes, and she catches them, and it's like, okay, so there we go, that's fine. But then you happen to see like one character get into a car, or someone else sees a character get into a car, and it's like, oh, that must be important. And then the next anime cutscene that's pretty close afterwards is, you know, them oogling her while she tries to, you know, fan out her shirt because it's so hot in the car, and they're kind of, and Ryuji's just kind of like nose bleeding looking at her her cleavage, and then the other characters are kind of looking too. And I'm like, are all the anime cutscenes just gonna be when everybody's oogling at An? I'm like, this is kind of weird.
Yes, that's how anime works.
There were other anime cutscenes. I feel like maybe
no,
I'm crazy.
No, not where I'm at. There might be more after where I'm at, but not because there's so few and far between that I know. I know.
Well, you get the cutscene at the end of the first palace. There's like an anime cutscene right at the end of the first palace.
I'm trying to remember the anime cutscene at the end of the first palace.
When the palace is beaten, you get the anime cutscene with how.
Oh, where she
resolves the boss.
You're right. There's that one where, but it's so early on. It's like by the time you get to the next one, it's so much can happen. Like that's, but you are right. That is because then she. Because I remember when I did the second palace, I'm like, oh, that wasn't in anime. That was weird. I was expecting it. But for her, it was because that was she was kind of developing her character because that was some pretty strong character. So maybe it's only cutscenes where and she was in her little dominatrix outfit. So,
and, you know, which I did point out right when you started the game. I'm like, have you seen her KO pose yet?
Yeah, where she does that.
Because her KO pose is her sticking her ass up in the air.
Where her KO pose is kind of like.
Welcome
oh, when she gets
it's
knocked
her
out.
On, yeah, when she okay, gets knocked when, out, it's her on all fours.
I thought you, I thought
her
you meant,
sticking her ass up in the
I
air.
I thought you meant her KO pose when she does her hold up move, and I thought that I'm like because then in that one she's doing the thing where she leans forward and showing her cleavage and you know peace signing the screen. I thought that's what you're talking about because we're KOing the enemies. But doesn't no. everybody do that same KO pose? Like even
not with their ass up in the air like that. No.
Yeah, I suppose. But
that one is. Clearly way more sexual than everyone else.
It's like, I guess only anime cutscenes are in it when Anne could be objectified, I suppose. I don't know. But
welcome to anime.
Yep. But it was just weird. I was like, man, that's like kind of odd. Especially because the second one where it's too hot in the car, like they're really served no purpose for that cutscene. Nothing, like there's no reason for it. They could have just skipped to the destination. They have to show the driving. Whereas the other one where it rained, it's like, okay, we're at a celebration. There's fireworks. We're celebrating. Then it rains. And then we see another character. And that was it. It's like, okay, we spotted a character getting into a car that could be important. Sure. Well, you know, whatever. We didn't even go talk to that character right away. We haven't even done anything with that. But it's just like, all right. So I'm really curious when the next anime cutscene will be. And, you know.
I feel like there were more. I'll have to keep track of them since I'm playing a new game right now. I'll have to keep track of which ones actually pop up.
Yeah, because I pay close attention to when they have them. I'm like, oh, here's another one. But yeah, it's good. I'm farther along. I'm like about 60 hours in now, but I've got to put in more because I know it's going to be much longer. I don't know how many palaces there are total. I haven't looked it up because I don't want to know necessarily. I'm just going to pay attention to the date. I feel like, okay, it seems like there's about one every month or at least one every month and a half, depending on how they space it. But yeah, I'm curious. It finally seems like it's where the first two palaces, even possibly the third, are basically all just, you know, well, I guess every palace so far is all character. All centered around a character who ends up joining the team.
I'm trying to remember if that's true. I don't want to spoil it. So.
Well, at least everyone I've done now has to do with someone joining me. Like the first palace, it's. I mean, spoilers, obviously, because we're talking about Persona. But the first palace, it's Ryuji and An. And then the second palace, it's the other dude, Kitsune, I forget his name, the painter. And the other one, it's the you know, other chick, and she's involved in that one. And then this one, it's the other character who's going to join you. So it seems like so far, at least every palace has been building up the team. So I'm wondering what point I'll get to where now it's no longer a palace that's centered around a character that's involved with something or to introduce a new character. So we created this conflict.
Do you know how many palaces you've actually done so far?
Yeah, I'm on the fourth.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was gonna say like 60 hours in. I feel like usually I beat a palace every like 10 to 15 hours. Like that took a while for me.
Dang.
Well, it's they don't the palaces only take like an hour or two. It's
It's all the padding in between and the right, doing all the other stuff.
It's good padding. It's not bad. It's definitely takes a while.
Yeah, and it depending on the palace too, it could really change up. And they gate it a lot behind your SP, because if you drain too much of that going through, it's like, well, you can't like beeline it. Like, there's a lot of fights you have to do. You can dodge some of them, but and there could be puzzles you have to figure those out. Like the like when I did Komashita's, I think I went into that outside of when it makes me go in and leave. I think I went back and forth in that one maybe two, possibly three times on my own, like going in and I didn't have any more SP, so I had to leave. Because doing fights without using personas is really obnoxious, and if you use items to juggle up your health, like the fights just take so ridiculously long sometimes, because fighting just melee is so inferior to fighting with magic, or your personas, that doing those fights normally is just it, unless you're playing on easy, I guess. It's just super impractical. There'd be a big thing of luck on your side, especially to make sure that, there was times where I was in the third palace where like I'd go through and I hadn't found a save room yet, but I was just going around killing all the guys, everything I could do, get to the point where I needed to. And then I slipped up and I hit, it's the way it spawned me in. I was facing a different direction I thought I was going to make me face after the fight. And so I hit the wrong direction and then just ran headfirst into an enemy. And then when the match started, the ambush just totally wrecked me, because then it was like, oh, chain reaction on their part. And then it was just, it killed me. And so now I have to restart the entire first section again. And that happened to me like multiple times, where it was just different one-off screw-ups that I didn't have to make. I was like, oh, you know, yeah, I'll heal myself later. And then, oh, I hit the wrong direction. I'm like, damn it. Or, you know, I one slip up. And then it's like, god damn it. I was getting so pissed off. I was like, are you kidding me?
I actually like that part of the, like, you. Yeah. I like the Persona, or Persona 5 at least. The other ones weren't quite like this. But I like Persona 5 at least because you really, on the harder difficulties, have to plan out exactly what you're doing. You have to be careful with all that shit.
Yeah, I like the fact that they can utilize the whole, you know, the same system against you of chaining attacks and doing extra ones if they happen to hit your weak point. That's fine. I like it a lot. It adds depth to it. It's just, I hate when it's like, I perfect 99% of it. And then I just, you know, I look away for a second, or I blink, or I just do something where then I become way too relaxed. And it's not even that it was a tough enemy, but they just, because I didn't heal myself, because I was like, oh, it's just, you know, whatever, I'm just going to go this direction. And then it's just this one stupid slip up and the game's like super punishing for it, where I hate it. It wasn't like, had I lost just a normal fight where straight up one-on-one, I just didn't perform, I didn't do the fight well, and then they beat me. It's like, okay, that's acceptable. But this is just annoying because it was totally easily dodgeable. And I just hated that it didn't, I had to redo the entire fucking section again. It was just super annoying. I was like, I had to fight all these guys all over again. And it's like, they're easy. It's just such a waste of time. And I was so annoyed by it. I think I quit that night because I was like, I was done. I was like, I'm done with this game. Because I was just super pissed. I was like, this is so fucking stupid. But yeah, just that palace, I think that one I was in, took me a bit because, like I said, because of the SP lock. I did buy one of the SP regen accessories.
I was going to say, I didn't want to spoil that for you. I didn't know if you knew about them. But I was going to say, like, that's a big thing, is if you get the SP regen accessories, they're just ridiculously helpful.
Yeah, I got the one, the top tier one that's just 7. But then it's like, which is fine, because I ended up equipping it to my main character and using that, and it was helpful a bit, not for the regular guys necessarily, but you still have to spend a lot of SP going through some of the normal fights if you don't want to, you know, be concerned about everybody dying. And it's like, it was okay, but then once I get to the point now where all the new moves, like, you start having to get rid of your old moves to do the new persona moves, like, if they don't cost low SP, then the SP regen is pointless, because then it doesn't really, you know, I'm taking, like, one step forward and two steps back, essentially. I thought about buying one for every character in the party. I was like, yeah, I could give everybody this accessory, but I do like having some people that have the other accessories, especially people who are weak to something, and give them the accessory that makes them not as weak to it, so I don't have to worry about them allowing the enemies to get double attacks.
I like building up the characters so that one has like strong physical attacks that use HP, and then if someone else the SP accessory who can like heal him or heal the other party.
Right.
There's a lot of fun strategies you can do.
Yeah, and I like the whole combat system and learning about, you know, what mobs are weak to what and yada yada. And I always run with the same group. I don't change anybody out. But yeah, it's good. I like it a lot. I guess I gotta just keep going. Still got more to do.
So I gotta ask, and this is spoilers for the first dungeon, so maybe block your ears for like 30 seconds while I ask this question. How did you not realize that Shiho was raped?
Well, do they ever say that she was? Like, I always thought it was just, she was just, like, because, so An says that, you know, she was going to offer herself to Kamoshida, that's his name, right?
Right.
To go out with him to let her be on the volleyball team. But then she kept saying no. I didn't think that he
did. She wasn't going out with him. He wanted to have sex with her.
Right. But that was like, he
calls her back and wants her to come over to his place to have sex with her.
Right. But he does also want to, you know, date her in a sense, cause they put out that, she talks about that rumor that goes out, that he spreads, whatever, that he makes that one guy spread, like say we're going out and stuff like that and yada yada. But I didn't think he actually raped Shiho. I thought it was just maybe he might have, you know, I don't know. I didn't.
Well, because at the first dungeon, you get a quote like right at the end where he makes some comment like, he makes an explicit comment where it's like, you know, I had to take her because you wouldn't let me take you or something like that.
Yeah, I thought he meant like, but because we're talking to his shadow self, I thought like, take her like just as a prize over her. Like, because the way it was his shadow saying it, like it seemed like, take her as my, you know, it wasn't him saying it. That's why I didn't interpret it that way, because it was like, it was the shadow and everything in there is, you know, take it like take prisoner, because they were in a castle and there was the prisons and everything and people being tortured and all that stuff. And he still had her, all, you know, his perception of her by his side the whole time. So I was like, I guess I didn't pick that up because it was his shadow talking and not necessarily him talking, where he didn't say it. But.
Well, that, and then like his entire dungeon is sex themed. Oh shit. I just got spotted.
I guess it is sex themed with all the busty statues and the ass statues and stuff, but I wouldn't say necessarily sex. There's a lot of torture going on.
He's got a sex dungeon room. He literally has a sex dungeon.
Yeah, it's that one room. But the other rooms where all the students are getting tortured, that's not sex. So I'd say he has like that one section where it's got that, because he has the cross that's in that one room. I think it's the room you fight him in. That cross is in that room.
The very last fight, he has a chalice filled with women's asses sticking out of it.
Yeah, I know.
Called the lustful chalice.
Yeah, that's how he views the women. But I wouldn't call the entirety of his castle a sex castle.
I mean, okay, not all of it is. There's a torture part of it.
Yeah, there's a huge. Like,
there's a lot of sex themes.
Yeah,
and this sounds like a really, really common like hentai kind of anime trope thing going on. His whole deal.
Well, his whole thing is he sees himself as king of the school, because mm-hmm. everybody looks up to him. Because he has the best volleyball team. Like he whips them into shape, but he's super abusive to the kids because he's like J.K. Simmons from Whiplash. He's just super like. Hardcore and like,
what a weird comparison.
Well, it's the closest one you could do to another form of media, because he's super abusive in Whiplash, yeah. And so that's kind of like this, like except I don't think, I didn't see it in the movie, I just know about it. I don't think J.K. Simmons is physically abusive, but where Kamoshida, like, he'll beat the students if they're not performing well. But yeah, he sees in his castle, he sees himself as the king of the castle. he wears a Speedo under his robe, but yeah, so he's got students locked up in this dungeon who he's torturing to be better at volleyball and stuff, but anyways, yeah, I guess I didn't see that, I didn't interpret that as, you know, oh, you know, I slept with her because you wouldn't let me sleep with you kind of thing. I just assumed it was like I took her as my, like a prisoner kind of thing, like the way the shadow was saying it, but because I didn't necessarily think the shadows speak were one-to-one, but
they probably left it slightly ambiguous on purpose, right, just because that it's such a, it seems to me, having never like seen it or anything, just hearing people talk about it, it seems like such a typical like trope in like the anime hentai world, like everything that his dungeon is and his whole story and everything. So I think like it's probably a lot more obvious maybe in the Japanese version or because of like contextual and cultural differences and everything like that. But in the localization, they probably left it ambiguous on purpose because you know how America is.
Right. I'm curious how the actual full-on Japanese translation of it would equate to, and see if it was just super straightforward with what he's saying. But like I said, mm-hmm. it just didn't. I never took it that way, but maybe because I was just playing out of time and it was so early on, I just wasn't paying attention. But I mean, either way, it makes sense. Either way, if he did or if he didn't, it just, I didn't see that. That's what you said. I was like, man, he did what? But
well, I mean,
because it was never like.
I think it's the combination of like the hints you get from the palace, her reaction afterwards, and what she does after she gets called to her like his office.
Right.
It's like the combination of all of those. The way I interpret it, at least, is that Kamoshida raped her. And that's why An was like so freaked out about it all, because she had that short conversation with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess in my mind, it depends on the act, because when I think of rape, I just think of forcing himself onto her, and then versus like if he just made her perform sex acts on her, I suppose, like then that's why she would try to kill herself. But I don't know, I guess we don't know what happens in that, what happened in his office, but yeah, that's fine. I mean, it's interpreted either way, but
that's how the game starts, and it only gets darker.
Yeah, but
this is a really fucking dark game, by the way. Like, it's a really fucking dark game.
Yeah, it's I didn't really think the third palace guy was that dark, like what he was doing. Like, I was like, this is really kind of genius, what you're doing. But
you idolize him.
No,
this is just kind of genius, man.
It made sense. It was like, so the idea for, spoilers for this guy, so there's this guy, he's, you like hear about it as you go along, about these kids finding this really high-paying, easy job. And it turns out that this guy is having his henchmen essentially pay students to smuggle drugs for them by just dropping off an envelope to a location in the middle of the daylight so the police aren't suspicious. But then they would, after they would do that, they'd deposit the tons of money into their account. But then they would extort them by taking pictures of them making the drop-off and then saying that if they don't pay them, they will give the pictures to the police and everything. So
they just get their money back.
Basically. Right, so they just get their money back. And I was like, that's really smart for some criminals. I was like, that's really good. But the problem was that they weren't just taking back the money. They were also going for more than they gave them. So then was a problem there. Yeah. So it wasn't like, because essentially it's like, I mean, it's super easy to walk an envelope of drugs from one location to another. It's like, yeah, sure, I'll just drop it off for you. Like in this game, like, yeah, whatever. But it's like, you know, they give you money and like, oh, yay. And then they just extort you for that money. But then they keep extorting you. But yeah, so it's like, okay, yeah, because they keep doing it. They're going past what they gave you. It's a little, you know, they're just trying to make a little extra. It's like, no, okay. Nah, that's why you're bad. But yeah, the whole extortion thing, I was like, that's really smart. But.
Oh, JCM, what are we going to do?
I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying that's genius. You never see that in like a movie where they go, oh, this is what the bad guys are doing. They're paying, you know, they're having this cheap, this labor done by this, you know, students, and then paying them but taking that money back. But yeah.
So I really want to download the Merciless difficulty. Well, I already downloaded it to see how hard it actually is. And then I want to try to beat all of the palaces in one day on the Merciless difficulty. That's like going to be my new goal.
Man, you would have to have like so many cups of coffee and in game
speedrun
to make sure you don't lose SP to because you.
Well, I mean, there's. I feel like the only hard ones would be like the first two.
Even like, but there's some. I guess if you remember, because you'll remember the codes for the third, and if you remember all the solutions,
like you'll know weaknesses from previous games, right. So you won't have to experiment to figure out weaknesses.
Right. But I feel like you crank up the difficulty, their HP goes up, so the amount of SP you have to spend to do these special abilities and keep them in their weak, you know, hold up thing, you're spending even more. So you're spending more while the and you're doing less damage. So it's that combo where I feel like it'd be super difficult without multiple SP regen items to beat a palace in one go. I just feel like that would be really tough. I mean, there's times even where I've made it to the end of a palace in one go before, but then it's like because the palace was mainly centered around more puzzle stuff than it was enemies, but there's no way with SP I had at that point there's no way maybe I could have, but I didn't try it. There's like, there's no way. I don't have enough SP to even try to do this. But I feel like, cause that's the artificial barrier they put in place is your limit on SP.
It's kind of an artificial barrier. I mean, you can beat on hard all the palaces in one day.
Yeah. That'd be,
even on your first run through, you can beat them all in one day with like a ton of planning. I don't know if it's possible on Merciless though.
Man, you'd have to do a lot of planning. Like I said, that planning must include a lot of SP region items. Like, you must have to make coffee, like, during your free time all the time.
Well, you can get someone to make coffee for you so that you don't waste...
Yeah, but you have to spend time leveling up that person. You're spending money where you'd have to, I'd say, spending money on items to regen, so you're not using SP to heal yourself, would be the best option. And because you have to level her up a lot to make her, to have her make coffee. And that's a lot of money you're throwing away. And you have to get pretty far in the game before you can actually get her. You can't do that in the first palace. I guess maybe on New Game Plus, if you can have confidence that if they start early again. I don't know if that works that way. But I feel like that'd be, like, you'd have to use a lot of items. And even when I try to, like, hold up enemies, like, here, give me an item, like, the amount of times they'd actually give me a soul drop, or any of the SP regen stuff was super rare. And I'm like,
oh god, I almost never used hold up for items just because it almost never gave me anything good.
Yeah, I tried it just to see if it was like different creatures or like, oh, I own you, so maybe you'll give me something better. But then there were ones I like, these guys always get, I knew which ones always gave it to me, so then I'd hold them up and be like, okay, let's just see if I needed them. But if I was conserving SP well because it was just easy fights on the way all the way through. But I feel like if you were to go in blind, didn't know what they were weak to on the first go, it'd be super difficult. Now, if you know everything, yeah, then I could see, okay, you can probably, because you know who you can dodge, who you don't have to fight, you know where the items you need to pick your SR, you know the puzzle, any of the puzzles you know the answers to. I feel like that'd be easy if you know everything. But going into a new palace blind, I feel like there's no way, because you have to learn, you're learning everything. Like, it's...
Yeah, I don't think it'd be possible going in blind. I think you need... you need the prior knowledge.
Yeah, if you have prior knowledge, then yeah, going with knowing everything and all that stuff and having the personas in your database, knowing the weaknesses, yeah, then I think sure, possibly, because then there are some you could dodge, but it's just a fresh palace. I feel like the one you could probably do, like I said, the one palace that was the easiest to get through, at least in one sitting, was the second one, because that was, again, much more puzzle oriented than it was enemy placement, so it was just super easy. And the enemies that were there were easy stuff that was like, you know, low use easy. There's a lot of like enemies that were weak to like bullets and just using the guns, because otherwise I'd never use the guns. But yeah, it's fun stuff. I did pick up and they had a Ghost Recon Wildlands was on sale because I was buying some stuff on Amazon. And they're like, oh, yeah, hey, you're buying some stuff. Look, we got a Wildlands. It's on sale. It's like $35. And I'm like, all right, you're $35? I can get $35 worth of entertainment out of that game. It's like, so I was like,
have you actually started playing it yet?
No. I put in the disc because I haven't bought a disc of Riverside. I'm like, well, I'm gonna have to load it up and install it. I have it in there, but I haven't played it. Not since the betas, obviously. But once I finish Persona, I could see possibly going over. Although, because I do have Hitman, the collection, which I played a little bit before, but I got Persona. And then I do have some DLC for Sniper Elite, but I haven't picked it up yet. But there is DLC available. But once I finish Persona, I can see possibly going in there and running around. Like, that won't be a game I won't, like, probably dedicate, like, the Persona hours into. But I'll go and, like, play for a while. And then once I finish Persona, I'll be able to go back and play multiplayer stuff. Because I think I miss playing Battlefield and Rainbow Six. But my cousin was playing Mass Effect, but he's now done with that. But now he's playing Demon's Souls, because he never played Demon's Souls. So he's doing that. And then once he's done with Demon's Souls, he's going to replay Dark Souls 1.
Oh, man, playing Demon's Souls for the first time? That'd be awesome.
But yeah, he's doing that.
Sounds awful.
But
you played Bloodborne. You made it through Bloodborne.
Yeah, I need to continually point out that I did not play Bloodborne by myself.
But like, you still
ever at any point, really.
You still made it through.
I made it through because I was dragged by my ankle through it. My dead corpse.
So, your corpse wasn't dead the whole time.
My corpse was dead a lot.
You were alive plenty of times.
I mean, realistically, if it was like an actual like real life situation, I would be dragged unconscious by my ankle through every area.
Yeah, once I just gotta do Persona first. I don't, like I said, I'm curious how far I am. I always assume that, okay, if I'm not near the end, the calendar date, then for a year, then I must not be close. Like, okay, well, I still got a couple months, but we'll see. It feels like a lot. Like every episode, every Palace storyline could be like a season or half a season of an anime. And like that's kind of how it is. Like it's like, oh, it's, you know, it's one isolated thing, yada yada. But but yeah, Persona's, I like Persona. It's fun.
It's good stuff.
Definitely look forward to getting back in multiplayer once everybody's available again, because I do miss it. I also wish I could freeze time just so I could read, because the one thing is annoying is like I bought a book because I wanted to get I want to read this book, but I still have another book I want to read, and I have like multiple books I want to read, but like reading is, I'm like, man, I was like, I need more time. I'm playing games, but I
read or video game. Read or video game.
Yeah, and I choose.
I can read in video games.
Yeah, I'm reading in Persona, but like I have stuff I just want to read. I'm like, oh, I want to read this, and it's just like I need more time. And I have I have these DVDs from Netflix I haven't watched yet because I just been playing Persona. Like, there's no way I can watch a movie and play Persona at the same time, unless I'm doing Mementos, which is the only thing I can do. It's like, oh, I'll do that, but then I wait till I rack up like multiple so I can just do one giant run of Mementos. But yeah, it's like, I want to read these books. I need these books in podcast form because I don't want them in audiobooks. And I can listen to more because audiobooks, I don't. Say, I like a podcast telling me about something and then quoting things versus just an audiobook. I feel like an audiobook at work is just a little too, I don't know, you have the extra special attention to it.
I don't think I'd be able to pay attention to an audiobook at work.
Well, listen to podcasts, essentially, it's like almost the same thing. It's just that because it's a conversation and talking about, I feel like I can ingest it better than if it's someone reading straight lines from a book. Like when I listen to Hardcore History, that's essentially, it's him telling you about all these things, and he might quote articles and journals from soldiers that were on the front lines and stuff, but they're always short, and he says, and he always talks loud, or has the way he does it too, it's like kind of annoying, because if it's, when I listen to my headphones, I don't have to adjust the volume that much. Like, essentially, once I have my volume at one level, I'm good. But when I'm in my car, if I listen to it, he changes his volume so much that it, like, I have to adjust the volume in my car, like, whoa, he's quoting, and I gotta turn it down, because he gets loud. Like, he'll do stuff, he'll say things like this, so I can be going, and you hear these stories about these soldiers who are at the front lines experiencing this horrible stuff. Here's a journal entry from Private so-and-so about the attack. Quote, the bombardment came in, the Germans were shelling the front line, and he just starts yelling, and he goes, end quote. And you hear that kind of stuff all the time. It goes back to talking quietly. But anytime he quotes something, he increases his volume. So I know when he's reading directly from something, when I'm listening to him at work, So it's a little easier to pay attention. Whereas this, I feel like I can pause the conversation. I feel like I can't really pause an audiobook and still be able to keep track of where we were or where I was. But
I listen to mostly like talk show podcasts at work, in which case it's really easy to just kind of zone out.
Right,
you don't need to pay super close attention to like a talk show podcast.
Yeah. And usually I can, the work I'm doing, if I'm doing something that requires a ton of focus, then I'll just pause it and do whatever I'm doing. But usually for my normal work, I can listen to them at the same time and hear keywords, like, because all the gaming podcasts I listen to, it's like, that's easy. I can listen to those, get all the news. But yeah, I wish I had more time to read. Just, I am taking a few days off. Maybe I can just read. Because the thing is, I don't like reading fast. I like to read slow to absorb the information. Not like super slow, I guess, but I read slower than, I guess, like some other people I know who like to usually just, they can like, oh, I just read a whole book that night. I'm like, are you fucking Johnny Five? I'm not going to just flip through the book and be done with it. I was like, I have to, if I read it too quick, then I'm not really going to retain the information. I'm just reading the words. I like to read it at a pace, kind of like, I guess, the same pace I would if I was to actually read it out loud, where it's not that, it's not super fast. It's just I'm reading out loud. Like, cause I don't know, like a book, I feel like I need to retain it better just by going a little slower through it. But yeah, I really want to read these books. And I'm like, duh. Like on Us in Tahoe, I read some of my, I had a book on my phone. I read a little bit of that. But I guess it'd be easier too if the books also have like a shorter chapters. I feel like that helps a lot, because then if a chapter's only a couple pages, I can just read that chapter and feel like I'm making progress. That's a lot of why I like the Tom Clancy Ops Center series, because the chapters were relatively short. So I could read like, oh, I read like, four or five of them, and which maybe in some other book could have been like just one huge chapter, but it felt like I was making progress. So I felt like it was, plus I had more time, so it was easier to stick with those books. But we just gotta wait for Call of Duty. It's weird that it's gonna be on Wednesday for Call of Duty, but I guess that's fine. But yeah, and more screenshots have leaked between now and then. It's kind of like, man, so much leaking. What's happening? But I'll be curious though to see if it's like a full-on gameplay trail, like how much will be there. They are selling tickets to an event, so apparently it's supposed to be a lot. I mean, they did do an event that one time for Ghosts when they talked about the fish AI. And look how the fish move away and the character's underwater.
Look at this dog we animated. Yeah. This dog will probably die.
That's right. You're going to feel sad. but yes, we got that. And then I guess we don't have anything new until Prey comes out in May, but
mm-hmm.
Look forward to that. Yeah, plus the movie season will kick off in May appropriately, so that'll be nice.
And
I'm psyched for Prey. Oh man, there's so many good movies in May. There's Guardians of the Galaxy. There's Alien Covenant, which mm-hmm. I'm like super, super excited for.
Yeah, I'm waiting and seeing on that one, but I'm hoping it's good.
I am so ridiculously excited for Alien Covenant. Just the fact that it's finally a new Aliens movie makes me so happy.
I'm kind of annoyed with it because Neil Blomkamp had an idea for an Alien movie. And he had everything going for it, and he would have done it. But because Ridley Scott wanted to do another Alien movie himself, they postponed Neil Blomkamp's Alien idea. And I liked it a lot because that looked awesome.
That bummed me out, especially because they were actually going to move forward with it. Like, they actually liked his idea.
Yeah, and I liked that. Mm. I was like, oh, I get to see Sigourney Weaver come back and kick some alien ass. yeah, I was like, it was really cool. I liked that. But, like, they didn't end up doing it. I was like, damn it. It's like,
hopefully. But the fact that this movie, at least... they've acknowledged, like, now that they've retconned the fact that Prometheus actually is a prequel. So I know before, like, when Prometheus came out, they went through that whole bullshit of, like, oh, no, Prometheus isn't actually a prequel to Alien. It's, you know, sure, it might be somewhat similar, but it's not really a prequel.
But it is. It's like, it clearly is. It's like...
It very, very, very clearly is.
But they tried arguing for a while that Prometheus was not a prequel to Alien.
Well, it could have been, like, I mean, they did have huge amount of rewrites. That was one of the reasons that people were curious what the original plot was, especially people who didn't like the way the movie played out when it got released, because it had a big amount of rewrites. going through it. So maybe beforehand, maybe the first bit wasn't necessarily a prequel to, like, an appropriate prequel, but then when they rewrote it, it became much more so. So it could have been the case, like, when they said, hey, we're working on this, and early on saying, oh, it's not a prequel, but then maybe it did actually become one once they rewrote a huge chunk of it. So,
I mean, it was one of those, like, come on, guys. Like, really? This is clearly a prequel. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, but I think maybe they could have said, like, maybe people thinking it was a prequel, too, because a lot of people did think it was a prequel, like, it took place directly before Alien. Like, the ship you see crashing was the ship that they find in Alien, when it's not.
Like a direct lead-in sequel?
Yeah, like, a lot of people did think that's what it was going to be, because when they were talking about, I remember a podcast I listened to where they go, like, oh, and you see the ship come down, you get to see how the ship got there, yada, yada. Like, everyone thought this was the same ship that was on that planet that they find. But it wasn't. You just find out other stuff. Like, this is earlier on. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting. But
I just want you to know I've already failed my attempt at beating palace in one day because I realized I forgot to go shopping beforehand. And I just went into this palace with, like, almost no items.
I usually don't use a whole lot of items. I used because now that I have people in my party who I don't swap in, I just use their SP to heal our group when I actually need it. And I wait till, like, everyone's low and then I heal them up. But I did buy on the shopping network, they sold like 50 bandages one time for super cheap. I was like, hell yeah, give me 50 bandages for super cheap. And I ran through like a dungeon and I used a bunch of those and had a bunch left over. But I was like, yeah, I'll just heal up. You know, sure, it's only 20 HP, but I have a ton of them. So just bam, bam, bam. Good to go. Plus most fights, as long as you don't get hit by the enemy, it's pretty solid. Yeah, good times. What have you been playing recently? Is that same old?
Same old, same old. Same still old. Watching Michael play Zelda because he refuses to go beat it because he's having so much fun with it. Mm-hmm. So he's just pretty much like stupid shit all day long. But
how much left can he possibly have?
Nothing. He has to go to the castle and beat Ganon. That's what he has to do. Next. That's like what he has left of the game, but he's just like running around and trying to defeat all of the most difficult things you can defeat and get the most powerful weapons you can get from them. I'm like, you're not gonna need those with the things. You don't even use anything else. You use the Master Sword to break rocks. Stop it. He doesn't even use any of the weapons that he gets, but whatever, he's having fun with it. But he's trying really hard to convince me to play the Bloodborne DLC for him, and I was like, I'm not going to subject myself to that right now, because not only am I going to fail horribly at the game, but you're going to be sitting there mocking me as well while you're playing Zelda.
Yeah, let me know when you play that, because I don't hop in there.
I might hop in there today. I don't know. I've been so tired from work.
It'll be.
Don't even want to play anything. But
pretty tough. Just because they have a lot of HP and they hit pretty hard, but.
At least I haven't played since I beat it. So yeah,
at least the hunters that are in the nightmare.
I want to kill the guy early that gives the bow, so I can have the bow early.
That bow, yeah. He
so that you can hide in the back while JCM goes forward and kills everyone.
Yeah, so I could be useful this time.
It's actually a pretty good weapon. It's not a bad weapon.
Yeah, it's not
bad. I want to do a blood tinge build because its damage is based on blood tinge, just like guns. And I think that would be fun because I could actually like stand in the back and shoot things and do reasonable amounts of damage while they chase JCM and try to kill him instead.
There you go. Yeah, that'd be fun.
At least she's honest about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only way I was going to get through the game, and it's the only way I got through the game, so why even, like, try to hide that?
Why even pretend?
Why? Exactly.
Yeah, I was watching a guy do his... He's doing his Bloodborne Let's Play right now. He's finished it, but I'm behind because each Let's Play is like 3 hours long.
Jeez.
And he was doing the DLC before he finishes up the game, and he was fighting Lady Maria, and I was like, man, I really want to do this fight again.
Lady Maria is such a good fight.
But
that's my
day. Is such a good fight. Before Dark Souls, like before the DLC for Dark Souls 3 came out, I considered Lady Maria one of the best like fights they've ever made. The Dark Souls 3 DLC has a similar one, which is, I won't say better than Lady Maria, but it's pretty damn close to Lady Maria in terms of
the last boss in the DLC.
The one at the end of the painted world.
No, I actually don't like that one.
Oh.
Ah, fuck. I need to look up what her name was now. This is gonna bother me. It was the Black Flame. No, not Black Flame. Shit, it was the chick when you fight her and her dad together.
That was, yeah, it was okay, I guess.
You didn't like that one?
It was fine.
Where you fight her and her dad, and there's like three phases, and then the last phase is like super badass.
Yeah, it was okay, like with the three phases. It was just like, we have short DLC, so let's make this fight three steps. Because that DLC was super short. But yeah, I mean, it was a fine fight. I mean, the first part was super easy, and then the second one, you just take one person, takes the other. And it was a fine fight. I don't know if I'd consider it one of the best, but yeah, it was fine. It was kind of fun that it had the multiple phases, but it was pretty... usually when Lady Maria's first phase is super easy because you get staggered really, really easily, but... yeah, it was a good fight. I don't know if it was the best, but...
I didn't say it was the best. I said Lady Maria was the best fight.
But then you said this one was better than Lady Maria.
This one, no, this one is close.
Oh, okay.
Almost as good as Lady Maria.
Yeah.
Lady Maria just, it has the character design, the music, the setting, everything in that fight is just incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right.
Play that again now.
Do it.
Can't wait to let her kick my ass.
There you go.
You haven't fought her yet? Oh, you haven't!
No, I've never actually fought. I've seen the DLC, but I've never actually played the DLC.
All right.
We were just talking
you
about
need
how...
to... You need to do...
Persona. He couldn't pay attention.
No, it didn't register. You need to do like a share play or something when you're going to do that fight, because I want to watch you
do that
fight.
I can't share play. My internet is too bad.
Really?
Yes.
You mean...
We tried, remember?
She can just stream it. Just Twitch stream it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's going to look like shit, but I could Twitch stream
it. I'll stream
it
from my end when I help her, and you can watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's acceptable.
It'll be less pixelized.
But I want to see Zaya's reactions of, oh my god, oh my god, oh shit, oh my god.
I'll just stand in the corner. I'll be like the cameraman of Mario 64.
No, that wasn't the deal.
If you just hide in the corner, that's acceptable.
Yeah. And then she just hits me that long attack. I'm like, damn it. But... All right, we need
you. She just decides to go kill you anyway because she's Lady Maria and fuck you.
She's like, you've been idle for too long. All right, we need a secret word.
I don't know. You pick. You guys have been playing Persona.
Well, Knock Knock was the last one. Let's just do... And we already did Persona as one of them.
Do Coffee.
Coffee. Yeah, okay, we'll do Coffee. Because it restores your SP. Coffee.
Great right now. I've been up since 8.
Yikes. Coffee's the secret word. And there we go. And then I don't know if I'll be down Persona by the time next podcast comes around. I mean, maybe. Depends on how many hours I can put in today and tomorrow and the rest of the week. But I don't know. But yeah, we'll see.
Just got to up your game. Play a ton.
Yeah, well, my gameplay, I do spend a lot of time, but usually it's because I do all that side stuff and everything, so of course it's going to take longer and yada yada, because you're doing all the extra stuff versus just putting on story mode and just plowing through everything. But yeah, all right. Well, I guess that'll do it for this episode, so thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see you all next time.
Later.
Bye.